You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Up to 40% or even more of percent of New Zealanders are on the neurodiverse spectrum, whether they have autism or ADHD or dyslexia, etc. Yet unemployment rates or the ability to maintain a job for people in this category are much higher. I took the time to speak to Dane Dugan from Autism New Zealand about their work with assisting those on the autism spectrum with finding work. So firstly, I just want to ask, with those on the spectrum attempting to find work or trying to integrate into the workplace, how does Autism New Zealand help with these matters?
We've got two ways of helping, really. We've got a Ministry of Social Development supported employment contract. So with that contract, we can work individually with a person, an autistic adult, and any potential employers. And one, help the autistic adult get themselves as job ready as we can, and two, work with the employers to see if there's a match there in terms of environment, in terms of skill set, in terms of whatever else, to make sure that whatever we do is going to be successful. So, you know, we do that. That is capped at a certain amount of numbers, a certain amount of people, and that's only in Auckland and Wellington, but we're still pretty excited to be able to do that. And the second one is around organisational wide. We're working with a number of organisations now, most of it in the early stages, but setting up whole neurodivergent employment programs where people are actually being proactive about employing our neurodivergent community, which is great. So, and then also at a lower level, just creating awareness at certain organisations who are interested in that to start with, or a little amount of consulting, I guess, for want of a better term, and how they can set up their organisations to be as neurodivergent friendly as possible.
And with that, like, not just getting into work, but how have you found that those on the spectrum have felt with being comfortable about their neurodivergency on the job?
Yeah, well, what we've been finding is if we get it right, if we get those early stages right, then we've got far more chance of success. So we've got about an 80% stability rate in our supported employment program. So a lot of the work we do is about setting up the right environment to begin with, because if you set up the right environment to begin with, you've got a far greater chance of having a successful relationship. So that's what we advocate for very strongly. But also what we advocate for very strongly is, generally, if you get it right for the autistic or the neurodivergent person within that organisation, you get it right for everybody in that organisation as well. So it makes for a better organisation in general.
And to add, what safeguards exist for those feeling comfortable disclosing their neurodivergency for protecting against some discrimination?
Well, I guess a lot of what we do is, again, is for us, the people we work with have already disclosed that they have an autism diagnosis or that they're autistic. So we're not finding a lot of discrimination, I guess, in the workplace, because then we then approach employers who are happy and wanting to do it. So, you know, we don't see a lot of that in the work we do. However, I do realise it is out there. And, you know, but I think it's getting less and less now. And I think the safeguards are, you know, if you employ somebody, it's always best to understand what motivates that person and how to get the best out of that person, whether they're autistic or not. And we work pretty hard with organisations on that. So safeguards is an interesting one, because I guess at the end of the day, if you're employed by somebody and you disclose that you're autistic, it's getting far more accepted, I guess. And I don't feel like there's that same stigma that there possibly was, the incorrect stigma, but the same stigma that there was a while ago. Whereas now, I think disclosing it, I don't think there'd be much negative reaction out there in the community as much as there was. However, there's still quite a lot of work we do have to do in that space too.
And what sort of industries have you found have worked best for an autistic brain?
Honestly, there hasn't really been one. So we've been working with everyone. We've worked as far as, you know, there's been fashion retail, there's been kitchen hands and restaurants. There has been a bit of IT, but you know, probably slightly more IT than any other sector, but it's not significantly more, if that makes sense. So it's kind of spread, and I guess that's why our approach has been quite successful, because we take an individualised approach to it. So it's understanding the person's needs and requirements and what that person's interested in, and then trying to find a match for them. So, you know, it's not saying we're going to get six people in a certain organisation or whatever. It's just working with that individual on their needs and interests.
And also, not only is it So autistic people can get into the workplace, integrate well, but how do you guys assist with working with those who burn out?
Yeah, well, so we do on-job support right the way through. So, you know, as part of our MSD contract, there's an on-job support component to that, and that's about helping people not get to a point where they're burning out. So, number one, we're trying to I guess, be at the top of the cliff rather than at the bottom and trying to avoid that situation. But when it does happen, and when there is burnout, it's just been, we've been working with the employer right from the beginning most of the time. So in those situations, the employer is far more understanding of it. And it's just communication. So a lot of it's just around communication. And then through our branch network, we can support those people who are experiencing burnout with whatever supports they may need. And again, that's very individualised, whether it's just the ability to have a few days at home, or whether it's something more specific or whatever the case may be, but it is very different. But we do, you know, as I said, there's a lot of education and awareness that goes on with employers to begin with to make sure if we are in that situation, you know, this is how we can handle it for that particular person. So a lot of it's about preempting it potentially if it's going to happen.
And to speak on a point that you brought up before, just over time with more acceptance of those on the spectrum and the like, how have you felt that the changing behaviours have worked out in favour?
I feel like, you know, as a country and probably as a society, we've been really good at looking at diversity in terms of gender diversity and whether, you know, getting more equality in the workplace in that space, and then looking at cultural diversity as well. But we haven't really looked at diversity in terms of the, and I'll say this, the wider disabled community. So I feel like there's now a bit more of a move to see that. But what we advocate for all the time, as I always mention, is it's not a charity for the organisation. If you get it right and get the right fit, it's going to benefit your organisation significantly as well as it will benefit the autistic person that's just been employed. So, you know, we're working a lot on the fact that it's not a charity. It's actually going to work in the best interest of your organisation. And with that change of mindset, we're seeing far more people now who are interested in looking at seeing how we can make something work for them and their organisation and for the person as well. So it's been a really, really strong benefit. We've placed over 80 people in employment over the last sort of 8 years or so, 7 years, you know, and it's getting, we are getting more and more interest now, both from the autistic community and adults as well as from employers, which is very exciting. Because that matches what's really critical.
So that was me speaking to Dane Dugan from Autism New Zealand about how they work to assist those on the autism spectrum with entering the workforce, working in the workforce, and helping them from not getting as much burnout.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.